The sportsbook at Caesars says the Lakers are heavily favored to win the NBA title, starting with game one tonight. LA is 4.5-point favorite here. Heat star Jimmy Butler thinks otherwise. Listen up.
I just don't think that we're underdogs. I don't. So what that nobody picked us to be here? That's okay. I'm pretty sure nobody's picking us to win either. That's okay. But we understand that. We embrace that. Because at the end of the day, we truly don't care. We're just going to go out here and compete, play together like we always have, and see where we end up.
Welcome back to First Take. I'm coming to you live here from the Heineken River Deck. We bring back Kendrick Perkins. Perk, I actually want to start with you here on this one. How likely are the Heat to upset L.A.?
Well, first of all, Molly, let me say this. The Heat have earned the right to be in the finals. They play phenomenal basketball. They're well coached. They got a lot of young stars and Tyler Hero and Bam. Goran Dragic has been phenomenal. Jimmy Butler has been a great leader, and he's provided, you know, great production to get them to this point. Now, to answer your question, to upset the Lakers, I give them a zero chance. It ain't happening. It's not happening. When you talk about LeBron James and Anthony Davis, the best duo since Kobe and Shaq, two guys that are on a mission. Anthony Davis is averaging almost a 30-piece wing dinner right now, a generational talent, one of one. LeBron James, we know he's on a mission. People might not want to talk about it, but we already know this is not just the Heat and Lakers. This is Pat Riley versus LeBron James, and LeBron James really want to win this series, in my opinion. And then on top of that, they have two of the best floor generals to ever play the game of basketball on the court. And that's LeBron James and Rajon Rondo. And when I mean by floor generals, I'm not talking about point guards. I'm talking about coaches that are on the floor that are able to make adjustments on the fly. And when you have that, that's just an advantage in itself. I don't care what kind of zone Eric Spoelstra throw out there. Those guys are able to read it and put their teammates in position to be successful. And I also believe that the depth of Miami bigs is not enough to overpower the Lakers. Bam is special. But what happens if he get in foul trouble? You know, it's who's going to guard Anthony Davis? You could throw Dwight Howard in there. He's going to mix it up. I think their lack of size in the inside, where if something was to, you know, just putting all the ownership on Bam plays a huge part. And by the way, Jimmy Butler is going to have to up his points. It can't be 19 points like he did against the Celtics. He's going to have to average 25-plus, and I don't think that could happen. Yes, I did say they remind me of the 2004 Detroit Pistons, and I had to go back and do my research. When the Detroit Pistons beat the Los Angeles Lakers with Kobe, Shaq, Karl Malone, and Gary Payton, Shaq averaged 26, Kobe averaged 22. No one else averaged over 8 points, and the Detroit Pistons defense was phenomenal. They held the Lakers to 80 points a game. I don't see that happening with the Miami Heat versus this Los Angeles Lakers team. And I think the Lakers are on the mission. I know they're on the mission. And I believe that the Lakers will beat them in six games.
Well, first of all, it's not stepping out on a limb for anybody to say that the Lakers are going to win this series, because we all believe it. It's just that the only person that America doesn't nor shouldn't want to hear from on this particular matter is Max Kellerman, because he was so busy raving not only about the Clippers, but about how Kawhi Leonard was the best player on the planet. He actually thought just saying whoops one day was going to get him off the hook. No, whoops doesn't cut it. We ain't letting that go, okay? But having said all of that, I will say this to you. I'm not going to disrespect the Miami Heat, KP, by giving them a 0% chance. Do I believe the Lakers are going to win the series? Yes. I believe the Lakers will win in 5 or 6 games. I'm going to show respect by saying 6, although I really, really believe it's probably going to be 5. But here's what makes Miami the wild card that I believe them to be, which is why I would give them like a 25% chance. Just like Max Kellerman, the boxing analyst extraordinaire that he is, always dissects about how styles make fights and how if you got a punch, you got a puncher's chance. Well, a punch coming from the Heat in the sport of basketball is their perimeter shooting. It's Tyler Hero, who's averaging 19 points a game. It's Duncan Robinson, who shot 40% from the three-point range in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's Bam Adebayo, who's averaged 22-11. And oh, by the way, when he was so dissatisfied and disgusted with his play in Game 5, came out in Game 6 and dropped 32-14. It's also the Heat collectively having a puncher's chance because they've got this bunker mentality. They know all the odds are stacked against them, and they're playing with house money. Now, what I do get tired about is these players lying to the American public. Jimmy Butler, nobody picked you to be here. There's two people on this show right now who picked you to be there. It would be Kendrick Perkins and myself. We both picked the Miami Heat to be in the finals. So, Jimmy Butler, stop lying to the American public, my brother. We did pick you. It's just that we ain't picking you to win. And what we have to look at when we look at the Miami Heat, if they're making perimeter shots, we also have to remember, KP, their experience. I wouldn't ignore Jay Crowder. I wouldn't ignore Goran Dragic to add to Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. I wouldn't ignore Jimmy Butler either. Their depth is a question mark against the Los Angeles Lakers. The Los Angeles Lakers show up and give you what they give you on a night-in, night-out basis defensively. But offensively, in terms of their perimeter shooting, they could be sporadic. If they're sporadic one day while Miami is hitting perimeter shots after perimeter shots, then they can make this series very interesting. It's because of that I say 25%. It's just a puncher's chance where if they're making perimeter shots, I think they could turn this into a series. I don't think they will consistently. I think they'll do it for a game or two. That's about it. But it could happen. And because of the combination of their shooting and how sporadic the Lakers could be from the perimeter at times, that's where I give them a puncher's chance. It's the only chance, but that's where the chance comes from.
I'd say the Heat have a 1-3 shot. Look, traditionally in the NBA, not just tradition, like just go through the history of the league. Not just, you can even go past the modern era into like the pre-3-point shot era. When two top five players are on the same team, that team almost always wins the championship. Perk, of course, you're right about Rondo and LeBron. And you can talk about other players and the picking up with Dwight Howard now he's done. It's not really about that. Any team LeBron is on, you'll start to notice the role players and think, boy, they really do a good job. But that's because LeBron's on the team. He knows how to orchestrate it all. And that's why, whoops, he's been the best all along, right? So LeBron and AD is very likely to win. I will say this, and Stephen A., I brought up a couple of teams from the past, and you homed in on the 2004 Pistons as an exception to the rule. That Pistons team did not have an MVP caliber player, right? Almost never does a team win a championship without an MVP caliber player. You want to look, usually it takes two. You know, Steph and KD, and now they can't lose, right? LeBron and Kyrie, and they got one. Or LeBron and Wade, Kobe and Shaq. Almost never without an MVP caliber player. Even when the Mavericks upset the Heat, they had an MVP caliber player, at least one, in Dirk. So the Lakers have two, and they should win. But when you talk about the 2004 Pistons, which one of the great, all-time great defensive teams in the history of American team sports. Like, you look at them, you look at, like, the Cardinals in 83 with Ozzie Smith and all those guys. You look at the Bears in 85 or Tampa when they beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl. Like, it's one of the greatest defensive teams of all time. They were special that way. And that's not quite this Heat team. But like that Pistons team, they're extremely well-balanced with a bunch of guys, as you would say, Stephen A., rough riders, who all will fight hard and know their jobs. So it's a versatile kind of team that they're throwing out there against these Lakers. I give them a puncher's chance, Stephen A., as you do, but I would say it's a 1-3 shot, yep, not a 1-4 shot, because this Heat team, by the way, has lost one more playoff game than the Lakers have so far. One. They've both really been dominant in this postseason.
All right, we'll leave it there. Perk will be back with us a little bit later. LeBron is 1-8 in game ones of the NBA Finals. I was surprised by that stat. His only win was in 2011 against the Mavericks. So we'll see what happens tonight. We'll have more on this game a little bit later, guys.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. All right, look who's here, World Series champion Alex Rodriguez. Alex, thank you so much for being with us this morning, sir. I know you will be on the call the game after us, Reds-Braves, which we were just teasing, but I want to get into that Yankees game because, Alex, a lot happened in Ohio last night. Talk to me about this. What was more impressive? Was it Gerrit Cole or was it the Yankees' offense against Shane Bieber?
I think all of the above was the most impressive part. I mean, four pitches in, you have DJ LeMahieu and then the big man, Aaron Boone, with a bomb to right center field to set the tone for the New York Yankees. And Gerrit Cole was spectacular. Last year in his first appearance in the postseason, 15 strikeouts. This time, 11 strikeouts. Phenomenal.
Go ahead, Max.
Yeah, Aaron Judge, you meant, yes. Yes, listen, A-Rod, that lineup can do that to anyone. It's one of the best lineups I've ever seen. No question. But what the Yankees had when they signed Cole was something that Cashman hadn't done in years, which is either through treasure or resources in the minor leagues, whatever it was, go after the ace at the top of the staff. It's been a long time since they signed CC Sabathia, and that shortcoming showed up in the playoffs year after year. No Verlander. They tried to get Gerrit Cole in the past. Now they have him, and they've matched him with Tanaka, who's a big-game pitcher. Do you think that's enough to get them past the Indians?
I do. I do think it's enough. And Gerrit Cole is exactly what the doctor had ordered. CC Sabathia did exactly the same thing for us when he came in. We opened the new stadium in 09. He brought us that credibility. He was an MVP-type pitcher that year. And through the postseason, he saved his best for October. The Yankees are hoping that Gerrit Cole does exactly what CeCe did, and he's off to a great start last night.
Well, first of all, it's good to see you, my brother, as always, number one. And number two, please tell J-Lo I said, hey, hey, hey. Now let me get to this right now. I don't recall, A-Rod, what your prediction was coming into this postseason. It's been obviously a different kind of season because of the pandemic, and we get all of that. But in light of the circumstances that were taking place and what we've all had to endure coming into this postseason, who were your picks to meet in the World Series and why?
Yeah, I picked a rematch of the 1981 World Series, Yankees versus Dodgers. And I picked that because of their depth, and especially because Hal Steinbrenner invested over $300 million to bring in the game's best pitcher in Gerrit Cole. He, I believe, can be the final piece, just like Sabathia was the final piece. And Mr. Stephen A. Smith, that should make you very, very happy. It's been a while for the Yankees.
I'm very happy about that. That's why I asked. I knew the answer.
Yankees win, Cowboys lose. It's a good day for you.
Perfect.
A-Rod, let me ask you about my other interest, my other topic that I'm interested in these playoffs, because I'm just really interested in Yankees propaganda, to tell you the truth. The Miami Marlins, after Derek Jeter was just killed in the press for his handling of the Marlins, he cleared the decks, he brought in the kinds of players and coaches that he wants, including Don Mattingly, to manage the team. So Jeter, a former Yankees captain, is the owner, and Don Mattingly, a former Yankees captain, is the manager. And here they are, barely above 500, whatever. They're in the playoffs. What kind of shot do they have?
I mean, first of all, I have a shot. Anyone who bets against Derek Jeter, a five-time world champion, has to be crazy. Don Mattingly, one of the great Yankees. What I like about what Derek has done with that franchise, he's thinking long-term, not short-term. He's building data analytics. He's building a farm system. He's taking the long-term approach. They're young. They're athletic. They have two young pitchers that are throwing bullets. And I don't think that Mr. Jeter got enough credit for the trading Stanton and unloading over $300 million on Brian Cashman and the Yankees. I think they're going to do just fine.
Actually, he was, excoriated by my man Dan Le Batard for doing that, but we won't get into that too much. A-Rod, I wanted to go off the field to ask you this question because, obviously, when you talk about the sport of baseball, you talked about the need for the sport to really, really ingratiate itself with the younger generation, do things of that nature to sort of catch up with some of the other leagues. This is America's national pastime, for crying out loud. They could be doing a better job. But with this pandemic having gone on, how do you feel about this season overall, and more importantly, how Major League Baseball has handled everything in light of the pandemic and some, and obviously the compromising situations that the sport finds itself in? What are your thoughts overall about Major League Baseball right now?
Yeah, you know, Stephen A., I don't like to give tens because, you know, tens is a perfect score. But I think Tony Clark and Commissioner Rob Manfred and everyone in baseball, the players have done a phenomenal job. We were first out of the gates, a very challenging 60-game season. All these challenges, uncertainties, and it's been a spectacular season. As a matter of fact, I think the game has grown forward. And I think because of those necessities and challenges, the game is now more in the 21st century. What I like is we've had more access to players. We have some of the best players of our generation. And now we're getting to know them. They're mic'd up. We want more access. And when things open up, we like to see the clubhouses, the batting cages. The batting cages are gold. We want to see that as well. We want to see Aaron Judge and Mike Trout hitting the cages at 4 o'clock on our phones. And I think everything looks good. This postseason, this is like March Madness. I love it. I love it. We have 8 games today. That's a major league record. Baseball's back in 2020. Maybe the most special year for baseball in a long time.
No question. This 16-team playoff format's a lot of fun. We'll see if they continue it. Alex, I got to ask you this. So it's been a rough go of it for Falcons fans. I know you watch football as well. You've seen those collapse and Bengals. I mentioned that you're calling the game, so I won't ask you to make a pick. But what are you looking for in this game with Cincinnati and Atlanta right after us here on ESPN?
Molly, I got excited because you mentioned football. I thought you were going to talk about my Hurricanes. We're 3-0. We're back.
They are.
We have 2 weeks into Clemson, so I got to enjoy it for the next 10 days.
Alex, we just had Paul Feinbaum and saying that one of the players is a dark horse for the Heisman. So, yeah, no question.
We want
Canes football back. I'm with you. But, yeah, what about this matchup at 12?
Yeah, it's a really exciting matchup, Molly. What I like is this is not Bobby Cox's, you know, Braves 1995 World Championship team. These guys are smashers. They have the best threesome in the middle of that lineup. And they hit for average and power. And is Acuna, is Freeman. and they can do it all. They have three or four guys hitting over 300, some 330, 340. So that's what you're going to expect from the Braves, smashing. The guy pitching for the Cincinnati Reds, Bauer, is the best to show on Major League Baseball. He's going to dance. He's going to sing. He's going to scream. He's got 4 pitches. He's going to strike you out, and then he's going to tell you about it. And he's been this way all the way back when he was a teammate at UCLA with Gerrit Cole. He is phenomenal. He's good for baseball. He's outspoken. It's going to be a great matchup.
Can't wait. I love some good trash talk. All right, and in the end, World Series champion, you have Yankees-Dodgers. The Yanks winning it all. We know Max is all about that.
See how special A-Rod is? A-Rod is special, Molly. A-Rod is special.
That
prediction, I'm holding on to it, bro.
Right?
I'm holding on to it.
He's bringing some star power to ESPN.
Hey, Molly. LeMahieu.
Yeah.
And Molly, I made a promise to Stephen A. earlier this spring that I was going to send you guys awesome J-Lo beauty skin because Stephen A. wants him to for his skin, but
that's
he's looking really good.
Absolutely.
Molly,
everybody. Molly, him and J-Lo. I mean, damn, not a scar, not a pimple, nothing.
It's unbelievable.
Nothing. I want her product. I need it now.
You got
how
it.
Much I love now. Your fiance. Between the two of you, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's not even fair. Power couple of all power couples.
Not since Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe.
Right.
Works for me.
Something special. Two special talents.
Perfect skin. I need it bad.
They are glowing. Fountain of Youth as well. Alex, thank you. We'll hear you on the call. Appreciate you. Talk soon, sir.
All right. Enjoy.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Breaking news right now. Sunday's game between the Steelers and Titans is being postponed. Multiple sources have told our Diana Rossini the NFL and teams are considering all options, with a Monday night game being one of them, according to Diana. Now, remember, they had 9 positive COVID tests in total. Facility is shut down until Saturday. On that note, we bring in Ryan Clark to join the conversation. Stephen A., I'll start with you. What's your reaction to the postponement?
Well, because what you want to do, like you talked about, Molly, in terms of tracing and what have you, you know, you mm-hmm. want to take every precaution necessary. I think it's the responsible thing for the NFL to do. And it's not like it's that huge of a compromise. You're still anticipating that you're going to end up playing a game the same week that you had planned on playing. So because of that, you're just talking about being compromised a day or so. I think it's fine. I think it's worth it. I think, again, it's the responsible thing for the NFL to do.
I don't care if they postpone it or cancel it or play it. Like, I'd like them to play it. That's my first option, on time. Second is postpone. Even, like, I wonder, like, this is really a question for you, Ryan. Could they do it on a Tuesday? Like, you'd think Tuesday to Sunday is rough, but then again, Thursday games, short weeks, are even rougher than that. So it's not like there's not precedent for that time frame between games. But whatever it is, even if they have to cancel and it's a lopsided schedule at the end of the year and they have to figure out what to do in terms of, well, it's the same, you know, in wins and losses, one played 15 games, one played 16 games, whatever. So go by winning percentage or go by head-to-head. It's not going to be perfect this year. Do you want football or not? We got the NBA. Things were not exactly, as Scottie Pippen's pointed out, the way they've always been. Pretty good, right? It's been pretty good. Same thing with baseball. Same thing with the NFL. Good for them for postponing if that was the prudent thing to do in terms of health. Great if they get the game in on a Monday. I could even see them playing it on a Tuesday. Maybe Wednesday to Sunday. Isn't that the same thing as Sunday to Thursday, really, right? Like, what's the real difference there? Even if they don't play it, so what? We're getting an NFL football season. Let's not look a gift horse in the mouth.
No, I agree. This is 100% the correct thing to do. But I'd also like to point out, Molly, when Max spoke about what's happening in basketball, when he spoke about what's happening in baseball, the one thing the NFL didn't do was give itself space by continuing to push for a 16-game series, to want everything to be on schedule and on time, to look as much like a normal season as possible. This became a probability that you would have to postpone games or cancel games or figure out ways to fit everything in. So I think the NFL was prepared for this. They can push this game back as much as they want to, and it might affect the rest of the schedule. As in, if you play on Tuesday, maybe the next game for the Steelers is on Monday, and the team that they face next week has to be a part of that rescheduling process. This is absolutely the right thing to do. This is the right thing to move forward, but it is a product of what they did when they didn't shorten the season or give themselves extra weeks to play games before the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all new territory. Obviously, they want this game to be played, so everybody doing their best here. But currently, the Titans-Steelers game is postponed. It could be Monday. or TBD. Guys, I want to keep it moving here, though, because, Ryan, you had a really strong take about the Dallas Cowboys. Can we talk about this, guys? So Dak Prescott went toe-to-toe with Russell Westbrook, throwing for 472 yards, three TDs, two picks. Cowboys' seven-point loss on Sunday. Ryan had this to say about Dak's performance on Get Up. I think it was on Monday, right? Take a listen.
This is about, and what this game was about, was Dak Prescott having an opportunity to give his agent a sheet that said, you know what? I went toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson with a bad team, and I beat him. And I made the plays at the end of the game to walk off victorious. And he didn't do that. And I know we're saying he has to play perfect, but isn't that what they've been asking for? Isn't that why he didn't get his money? And I'm not saying he don't deserve money, but this was a week to make it plain and clear that he was that guy.
All right, let's get into this. I'm going to start with you here, Stephen A., and then Ryan, obviously, you can defend your point. But, Stephen A., so far, do you feel like Dak is helping or hurting himself this season?
Well, first of all, I think that he's not helping himself because he's not winning enough. That's the reality of the situation. It comes down to the W's. The only part that I didn't like about what Ryan Clark had to say, and his football analysis is on point, please don't get me wrong, but let's call it like it is, Ryan. If this were Tony Romo, same situation, same numbers. Tony Romo has a new contract. I can't emphasize that enough. That's my issue. And it hurts me to say that because I told you I can't stand Cowboy fans. That is absolutely true. But I actually like Jerry Jones a lot. I like Stephen Jones, okay? And I like some of the members on the Dallas Cowboys. I got nothing against them. I'm just being very, you know, with all joking aside, all playing around aside, because we all know I like to troll them because I'm a native New Yorker and all of that stuff. All joking aside, I've said it how many times now? I can't count. And I'm going to say it again. If this were Tony Romo, same identical situation, same number of wins, same number of losses, in the same contract situation, he would have been taken care of by now. And that is where I have a problem.
I have a question, Stephen A.
Yes.
I have a question. Why do you think that is, though? What's the difference between Tony Romo and Dak Prescott? Because I want that to be very clear for me in my rebuttal. Why Tony Romo and not Dak?
It would be easy to go the race route, but believe it or not, I'm not doing that. I'm saying that Jerry Jones had a personal affection for Tony Romo. And because of that personal affection.
Tony Romo has other level charisma.
Hold on. Well, you can say that. That's true as a broadcaster. But when he was playing football.
Hold on,
Max. I'm not disputing. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that as a football player, we didn't know the charisma that Tony Romo has, as funny as he can be and everything else. We didn't know that about him to this degree until he got in that booth. When he was playing, though, he had a personal relationship with Jerry Jones. So, again, what I'm saying is it's personal. And I don't mean, because Jerry Jones speaks flatteringly about Dak Prescott, but the point is from the time Dak Prescott came in, he was reluctant to give him the reins, even though Tony Romo was getting concussed all the time. He wasn't healthy, and he couldn't play. And Dak Prescott came in right as a rookie, played lights out, clearly deserved a job. And the last person that held on to Tony Romo for dear life before he had to give the reins to Dak Prescott, obviously, was Jerry Jones. My problem is Dak Prescott has been in the league for 4 years. He has done enough, not just as a football player, but as a leader and as a man, to deserve more validation than he has received from Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. And that is where my problem lies. And I don't like it.
They offered him over $100 million.
Yeah, listen, you cannot like it, right? It's a lot of things in life that we don't like. It's a lot of reasons why you feel like certain people don't get what they want. And we're going away from the race card, but if I could just say, when you know that those cards are stacked against you, there are certain things that you have to do to prove it to people. There are certain things that you have to do to get what you deserve. How many times growing up, Stephen A., did you know you had to be better than a certain person or better than a certain group of people by a long shot to get what you deserve, you needed to be? That's where Dak Prescott is, and so that's where my analysis comes in. I don't disagree with you. If it was Tony Romo, he would have already gotten the money, but that tells me something about the relationship between Dak Prescott and Jerry Jones. Yeah. I think he still sees Dak Prescott as that fourth round pick. He still sees Dak Prescott as having certain deficiencies. So you got to make it abundantly clear to Jerry Jones that you deserve your money. And here's what I mean by that. We talked all offseason, and Max brings it up a lot of times about Jared Goff's contract, or you talk about Carson Wentz's contract, and now we'll speak about Russell Wilson and where he's being paid. And Dak Prescott wanted to be in that conversation. Let's look at his season. Week one, you play the Los Angeles Rams and Jared Goff. Jared Goff got $110 million. You have an opportunity to go out there and beat him. You could talk about the OPI. You could talk about the fourth down and three call. But Dak Prescott had an opportunity to go out, make the plays head-to-head, no matter what the numbers off were, and walk off the field victorious against Jared Goff. Fast forward to week three. You're playing against Russell Wilson. Right now, the presumptive MVP of the 2020 season with a defense that can't stop a nosebleed and no Jamal Adams. Here is your chance. Here is your chance, toe-to-toe with the man who just went down and scored a touchdown with DK Metcalf, who actually allowed you to still be in the game because he didn't run through the end zone. And now you have your chance, Dak. Dak, even though you threw an interception in the first half, you fumbled the football and gave the ball to the Seattle Seahawks again on another drive. Now is your chance. You get outside the pocket. You throw a ball up into a scrum, and it's intercepted. So, again, you played great. You put up numbers against a defense that's allowing everybody to put up numbers. But when it came time to make the play, you didn't. And this is not to say that Dak Prescott doesn't deserve his money. This is to say that Dak Prescott is not helping himself within the Dallas Cowboy organization and building by not winning games. I think Dak does deserve money. Oh. I think Dak has played well, but he's not changing his space in that building, and that's what's important.
Dak is the tortoise, not the hare. You know, Wentz jumped out to a great season, and then he's injured, and now he's no good. Jared Goff had a good season, a bad season. Now he looks good again. Dak just steady year over year. He was started out good. He gets better and better. He's a very good quarterback. Now I give him a B+. He's a B+ quarterback, maybe heading to an A-, maybe eventually an A or an A+. And they're offering him a contract that puts him in line with the other quarterbacks in his class, Wentz and Goff, right? Even if right now I like Dak the best out of those three, and eventually maybe I'll really like him the best, at this moment, he's a little bit over a $100 million quarterback. Mm-hmm. And really what they're bickering about, I mean, if it's over a few dollars to put him ahead of Wentz or Goff, then shame on the Cowboys. But if it's over, he wants outs in a shorter contract so he can re-cash in on the new contract, then that's a legitimate gripe between the two parties, and probably the Cowboys should have locked him up when they had the chance at a cheaper rate a couple of years ago. Ryan has a good point here, which is, and I'm not even talking about just this season, Ryan, Dak, his defense has let him down at times, but in the playoffs against Aaron Rodgers, the reason they lost a couple years ago, even though Dak played very well, is Rodgers could do things Dak couldn't. The reason they lost that game against Seattle is because Seattle had Russell Wilson and the Cowboys have Dak Prescott. He wants to get paid as though he's Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, but he's not, at least not yet. He's much more like Goff and Wentz until recently, and that's the kind of money they're offering him.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Probably been the most challenging thing I've ever done as far as a professional, as far as committing to something and actually, making it through. I knew what I was coming, what we were coming here for. Obviously, you didn't. I would be lying if I sat up here and knew that everything inside the bubble, the toll that it would take on your mind and your body, and everything else. Because it's been extremely tough. But I'm here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to compete for a championship And that was my mindset once I entered the bubble.
I never saw those headphones before. Meanwhile, Hall of Famer Scottie Pippen with his thoughts on the bubble saying, quote, well, I'm going to be honest. It's not NBA basketball. It's not the hard grind. It's not the travel. It's not the fans. It's not the distractions. Really, to me, it's pickup basketball. It's going to the gym. Yeah, you already got your team. Y'all practicing together. Kendrick Perkins back here with us. Stephen A., do you agree or disagree with Scottie's comments?
I somewhat disagree with him, and I think that he's being disrespectful to his contemporaries. He did end his comments by saying he's enjoying it, it's entertaining, but I think it's being dismissive when he uses the words pick up basketball. Certainly these are different times. They're not what you customarily have to deal with. He was absolutely right in pointing out the absence of fans, the inability to travel, things of that nature, how you get to sleep in your same bed, you don't have to work in hostile confines, you know, the noise, the crowd, the adrenaline. Those things are accurate, but we all understand the times that we're living in. And even though times are different, let's not take away from the great basketball that we have seen. It's not pickup basketball. It's organized basketball being played by professionals who've shown up and have made tremendous sacrifices to be there. And knowing that if you lose, you'd go home, yet seeing the amount of competitive matchups that we have seen, I think it's an opportunity and almost a mandate that we pay tribute to what we have seen from these players and these coaches. Denver, that was not a pickup team. Utah and Houston and L.A., both L.A. teams, even though they lost. Luka Doncic and Dallas, what we've seen in the Eastern Conference with Boston and Toronto and you know, and Miami, the list goes on and on. So I would say Scottie Pippen, I respectfully, he's a six-time champion. Jordan wouldn't have those titles if it were not for him. Mad respect and love for Scottie Pippen, but I respectfully disagree with how he has categorized these games. I don't agree with him at all.
I agree with Scottie Pippen. I think he's right to point out the differences. Forget about the use of the word pickup if you consider it disrespectful. He's describing it, right? And he's right. There are differences between this and a normal season. But is this harder or easier? In other words, the normal season has a certain kind of grind. This had a different kind of grind in the bubble that took a different kind of toll that he wouldn't know about because he hasn't experienced it. Actually, the players in the bubble, most of them have experienced both. And they can tell you what's different about it or what's harder about one or another. Maybe one or another is actually harder, right? All things considered, according to the opinion of some. And those opinions may vary. But what he's describing sounds to me to be a fair way to describe things. Does that take away from the winner of the championship? No. Because the winner of the championship, everyone's going through the same thing, right? And even if he wants to argue or someone wants to argue, these conditions select out a different winner than would ordinarily be the case, well, then, okay, fine. Like, you know, survival of the best adapted to this situation. Fine. But let me ask you something. Does it seem like there would be other teams in the finals right now? No, in fact, Stephen A., you picked Miami. I think you'd have picked them whether or not there was a bubble, as did you, Perk, to come out of the East. And Lakers out of the West, you also picked them. And I don't think that had to do with a bubble. So if we're, in fact, getting the same teams we would get otherwise, and everyone's subjected to the same thing, then Scottie might be making a legitimate point. But in the end, it didn't have an effect on the who's playing in this game or in these games.
Well, Max, no, he's not. No, he's not. And you're wrong for siding with him. And he's being disrespectful. I got much love for and respect for Scottie Pippen. He's the top 50 greatest player of all time. But he's dead wrong for this. People sacrificed a lot to make this bubble happen, and he's disrespecting those people. People left their families during the pandemic, during the time where people were dying to go down there and work and play the game of basketball. Also, you have examples like Montrezl Harrell, whose grandmother died, who was a dear part of his soul, a dear part of his heart, his best friend, that he had to go down there and sacrifice after her death. We saw Jamal Murray break down in tears after a post-game interview. We heard Paul George talk about mental
Reds,
health.
Reds Braves is next right here on ESPN. A-Rod on the call. We'll be back here tomorrow to break down game one. Thank you, everybody. Have a fabulous day.